Wow, thanks guys. Wasn't that great? Oh man, how do you follow that up, you know? I'll find some way. You know, just to think about that as the ultimate love story, you know, begins today on Palm Sunday. I know that may be a weird way of looking at things, but listening to that song, it's that the love story begins the day, it starts today and begins next Sunday for our salvation and life. So think about that when you heard that song, the ultimate love story. Man, that was beautiful. It got me pumped, I'll tell you that. Doesn't take much. I had about a pot of coffee this morning too, but that really got me going. So this is Palm Sunday. You already got that, and we're going to be adding to that as we go on. But I was thinking about the series we're on, Going to the City. And the Love Effort series that we're into right now. And today is where we ultimately go to the city, where Jesus goes to the city. He's gone there, and that's where we need to go as well. But when I was getting all prepped for this and looking forward to doing this message today, I was just thinking, celebration. Today is a celebration. And how can I get you guys energized in the celebration, realizing what was going on, what kind of celebration that really was. And as I set that up, I was thinking of, I have to show you something of a celebration of something we celebrate today and now. And some of you may have remembered the day and the hour that you were here when this celebration happened. And just to get you in the mood of celebration, we're going to show you this. Take a moment. As they're queuing that up, just start getting excited. It's really a great celebration. I know it's right there. I can feel it. You know how those celebrations are. Sometimes you just gotta wait for it. You gotta wait for it. It's coming. Technical difficulty. Okay. Well, if that's the case, we're just gonna have to look at the picture. I'll give them a minute. And like I did at the first service, I talked for a while. And I talked about this celebration with my son, Matt, which may give you a hint. And I also talked with Dean, and we came up with this little celebration that, through technical difficulty, will make some people happy that know what the celebration is about already, and other people sad. Well, I tell you what, we're just going to move on ahead, okay? So here's what we have. Okay, you would have seen it on the screen, but you all have seen it already and lived it. You know where you were for this celebration. I know some of you may be a little upset that you didn't get to see it again, but that's okay. Uh-oh. I don't know. Nah. We're okay. We're okay. We're just going to keep rolling. Hey, we... But what do you think? Just to get you in the mood of what this would have looked like. People cheering, people shouting, when Jesus is riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. This is not it. This is what it's supposed to be, just to get you in the mood of celebration. There you go. You had it. Thank you, guys. You got it. You got it. So we'll go back to the slide of the picture. And just to take out a little further, I won't dwell on this too long, but the people of Philadelphia and the Eagles fans waited forever for the Lombardi Trophy to come to their city, okay, come to the streets of Philadelphia. And they had a big celebration about it. They were so overjoyed that this team that went out on the field and got beat up every Sunday, broken bones, all kinds of problems, won this trophy for them. They won this trophy for them, their coaches, their team, and we didn't have to do anything except sit in the living room with our friends and cheer it on, cry. And we had a lot of tears, a lot of cheers, but the fact is we didn't have to do anything. We didn't do a thing for that trophy, but we sure got a lot of joy out of it, right? Right? But those of you who are Eagles fans, I'm a Jet fan. I'm still waiting. But the point is, this team won the trophy for all of you guys that are Eagles fans. And we have this one man riding in on a donkey to win this trophy for all of you by dying on the cross. This one man rode into Jerusalem, went through a week of hell, and ended up on the cross for you and I. What do you think of that? Amen is right. Amen is right. Yeah. It took a team to do this and got all that joy. But look what Jesus did for us. That's what we're going to look at today. This journey on Palm Sunday was bigger than anything we can imagine. So here it is, Passover celebration. Jesus knows what's coming up, and he's still coming into town. Now, some of you may not know what Passover celebration is. You may not know what that is. It's a Jewish holiday. It's what we have as Passion Week. But here it is. Celebrates the exodus of descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob from Egypt when they were liberated from slavery and became a new and unique nation under God. Okay, that was right after that 10th plague that Pharaoh called down on about the firstborn of Egypt being killed. Okay, so what happened there at Passover, and this is real quick. I have the Bible verses there that you can look up later if you want about Passover. But what happened there was God told them to put lamb's blood over the door frames of their houses. The Israelites to do that, so their firstborn wouldn't be killed. So death passed over them. The next day, Pharaoh said, "You guys get out of here. You're free to go." We all know what happened. Pharaoh got a hardened heart. He came after him again one more time, the Red Sea scene. That's, you'll see probably on the Ten Commandments movie this week sometime with Charlton Heston. You guys probably already saw that. So this is Jesus coming into town on the biggest day it could have possibly been to come into Jerusalem. There had to be about 2.5 million people around or more. There were people everywhere on top of each other. That's what the big celebration was about. We're going to read about it now in Matthew 21, verses 1 through 5. You can open your Bibles up and keep them open there then, because there's going to be some audience participation a little bit later on. I know. Hold on to that. Okay. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt. By her, untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Okay, a lot going on there. It was already prophesied that he was coming, and they knew that. And I always looked at that part of the Bible, and I'm like, you know, coincidence or advanced planning? You know, I was just looking at that, and I'm thinking, well, it's no coincidence with Jesus. You know, there's no coincidences with him. There's no coincidence with his dad either, okay? And so I figured, well, it's good planning. It's advanced planning. And then I went and looked in one of the commentaries, and here I found William Barclay's explanation. Jesus has already arranged that the donkey and foal should be waiting for him, for he must have many friends in Bethany. And the phrase, "the master needs them," was a password by which the owner would know that the hour which Jesus had arranged had come. And I'm like, wow. We know Jesus had friends in Bethany. He had Mary and Martha and Lazarus there. You know, he just did a magnificent feat there by raising Lazarus from the grave a little time back. So that was still in people's memories. So they knew, a lot of people knew Jesus in Bethany and other areas. So that goes without any saying anymore. But here is where you guys get to participate. All right, this should be fun. You can be part of the story. You are part of the story. Here we go. They brought the donkey and the colt. placed cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed him shouted, Yeah, I have everything underlined, okay? So that's... Here you go, keep going.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven.
Okay, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and they asked, Who is this? The crowd answered,
This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.
Good. You guys did great. You were part of the story. That's just what we want to do today. Keep everybody from dozing. Okay, this is the beginning of Passion Week. We touched on that already. You are aware of that now. Okay, this week, in this family of believers, we have a lot going on. Okay, it's the beginning of our Holy Week as well. We have the Love Feast at 7 o'clock on Thursday, on Monday, Thursday. We have 6:30 sunrise service. We have the regular service at 8:30 here, and again at 10:45. Our Holy Week is starting today, though, and moving right through. We'll be in prayer. There'll be Good Friday services going on. Our Holy Week has started as well. So get ready to do all the things you do for Holy Week, but be here with us. Don't miss it. And as I said earlier, Jesus said entering Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, in the view of an estimated crowd of 2.5 million. That's a lot of people if you've ever been in Jerusalem. That would be a packed house. And they would have to be some outside, out around there. It didn't say where. The reason how they figured this out was some emperor, 30 years after this, figured that a lamb for every 10 male people going to this is how a lamb would be sacrificed for every 10 males that were attending the Love Feast service. I mean, this service, not the Love Feast service, this service, the Passover. So that's how it was figured out, 2.5 million. That's an estimate. I mean, give or take a couple hundred thousand. But it doesn't matter. It was a big crowd. You saw the Eagles thing there. I just wanted you to get a feel of what it would be like to have that many people in one area at one time. No coincidence that Jesus entered on a donkey. A donkey is a symbol of peace. So when you enter in a donkey, on a donkey, it means peace. The emperors used this too. If they came in on a donkey, it was a peaceful visit. If they came on a war horse or a horse, it meant war. So the people were well aware of that symbolism as well. But the donkey was not only, it was a royal donkey because it was never ridden on before. So that made it royalty. There was a lot of things going on here in the background that you wouldn't particularly pick up on if you didn't know the traditions of that area. The people had shouts of joy. You heard it here. You heard people shouting the joys with their voices. And they sang, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna back in that time was save now. Save us now. That's what it meant. Save now. So the people were yelling, save us now. Save us now. It might have got watered down as time went through and just became a hail, like Hail Caesar or Hail any other person. But its true meaning was save now. So I just wanted to run that by it too, because a lot of these things we say and we do and we don't know the meaning behind them. Well, they did. And as was mentioned by Ryan and Dean and others today, they were so happy to see their deliverer had come. The man that was going to save them from their day-to-day anguish had come. And in fact, not knowing, their deliverer did come and had come in a real big way, but not in the way that they had projected or thought about. As I said, today's message is going to the city. Okay? And three things about Jesus in this setting that I want to touch on today is this. Courage. Courage to enter a city on the biggest day of the year with 2.5 million people there, all eyes on you, riding through the main gate, knowing darn well that these people that are cheering you on now are going to be yelling, crucify you later. Think about that. What courage that must have taken. See, this was the divine Jesus, sure it was. But it was also a man. It was a man who had the same feelings, the same pains, the same anguish as you and I. This is the guy riding into Jerusalem with all that. So think about that. He was divine, but he was also man. What courage that must have taken to ride into Jerusalem, knowing all that he knew up to this point. The claim. You heard some of the Bibles say the prophet, people were yelling, the prophet has come. Now, if he would have remained going on as a prophet, he would have been okay. There would have been no problem there. Because there were a lot of prophets in town. There were a lot of prophets in that time. And there would have been no issue. He would not have gone through any of this other problems that he had or his death. But that's not what was prophesied. That's not where it was meant to be. But he couldn't have done it that way. No way. Jesus is top dog. No disrespect there. Jesus was the top. He wanted the top spot. He earned it. He lived it. He was God. And he told them that. And that's what got him in trouble with the people. But he didn't hide that fact that he was the Son of God. He wore that with honor. And he wanted everyone to know that. And not only that, he had the appeal. And it was mentioned in that song when they were singing it. I was thinking, what was appealing about Jesus? Now think about that. What draws you to Jesus? The love that was mentioned? Definitely. The peace that comes from Jesus? The joy that comes from Jesus? But I think that top one is love. He attracted all kinds of people to him. It didn't matter who they were in the walk of life. I mean, it could have been a prostitute, a drunk, it could have been a drug user, it could have been anybody. And he would share the same amount of love with them as he shared with anyone else, his disciples or anyone else. You see, this is what he never ran out of. This is what his appeal was. He just radiated love. Think about it. What attracts you to Jesus? Now, I put up here, and I want you to want this to sink in a little bit. Football is a spectator sport. We know that, but Christianity is not. Okay? If you're sitting back and thinking you got it made, yeah, you probably do if you got Jesus in your life. That's for sure. But what about the other folks that don't? See, we're talking about taking it to the city, going to the city today. So here, hypothetically, what if Jesus would have said, no, Dad, I'm not doing this? What if Jesus would have said, I'm not doing this, and walked away? Where would that have left us? Think about that. Well, I can tell you where it would have left us. Hell would have been a full house. There would have been no hope. Love would be at a premium. There would be no peace. There would be nothing like we have today. If Jesus would have said, that's not for me. See, that's exactly what we do when we keep Jesus to ourselves. The hopeless in the cities, the hopeless on the street, they don't know who Jesus is. But through us, they can learn who Jesus is. And that's what we got to take to the streets. Go on to the streets. Because, you know, every time we do that, it stretches us a little bit. And we grow. And that's the cool thing about it is we grow, they grow, and it's a good thing. So, okay, let's take us to the streets. Okay, you ready to go? Got your walking shoes on? Here we go. We're going to the streets. Same kind of deal. Courage. You need courage, just like Jesus. You have just like Jesus. You got Jesus in you. If you received him as your Lord and Savior, if you're entering the streets of Ephrata, Lititz, Akron, Denver, name it, school, workplace, family, be encouraged by Jesus. Be encouraged about what you know about him. And if that's all you know, that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, that's all you need to take onto the street. You don't need to know this entire book, all right? You just got to know who's in it. All right? That's it. Sure, there's more to learn, but as you go, you learn. You got to have courage. I was thinking of Peter, you know, in Matthew 14, verses 22 through 23, if you want to read about it. But Peter and his buddies are out there in the boat, you know, and they're heading over across the lake, and they let Jesus on the other shore, and here comes Jesus walking up through on the lake, on the water. You know the story. And Jesus says, hey, can I walk on water with you? Jesus says, come. Sure, come on out here. So Peter steps out of his comfort zone, which is the boat, and steps out in the water. All this is good. All this is good. He listened to Jesus' command to come. He went, and he's walking along the water, and the next thing you know, he gets to thinking about, hey, I'm walking on water. I can't do that. And what happens? He sinks. Does Jesus let him drown? No. Jesus reaches down, gets him, dries him off, and puts him back in the boat. You see, we got to get out of our comfort zone. We got to have the courage to get out there and do it. And if you mess up a little bit, if you're talking about Jesus, you're not going to mess up. You know, you're not going to mess up. But if you fall and stumble, well, Jesus is going to reach down, pick you up, dust you off, and put you on your way. But you got to have the courage to do it. See, that's what we need and sometimes lack. Courage. Sounds a little like the Wizard of Oz now I'm thinking about it. Somebody else is thinking about that too. I saw a head shake, so I'm not going there. Could get into that, but I won't. Okay. And also we need to claim. We need to claim Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Never hide from that fact. If you are saved by Jesus and you are a Christ follower, never hide that from anyone. I know sometimes we get in certain circles where we don't want people to know we're Jesus people. Oh, they'll think I'm a freak. You know, if I'm a Jesus people, this happens at school. This happens at work. This happens different places. And oh, you shouldn't do that. If people know you're a follower of Christ, then let them know, and it's on them about what they think about you. But sharing Jesus, you got to claim what you have. Because there's a lot of people out in the world that do not have what you have that need to know about it. And you can lead them there, but you can't make them take that jump. But that's not your job. Your job is to lead them there. It's up to them to take the leap of faith. And the appeal. Okay, this one I like a little bit. Because I know sometimes people have different approaches with how they bring the word. Now, I already had people come to my front door, and I open the door and they go, are you saved? Well, that's going to draw me to Jesus. You know, scaring the daylights out of me and grabbing, going to grab me. Are you saved? No. That's not the way to go. And I am saved, by the way, when I said no. I had to watch how I answered that one. But do you think that's the right approach? Did you see that in the Bible as Jesus ever approaching anybody like that? I don't know, but point it out to me if I did, if they did. Or hitting somebody over the head with the Bible. Because you know it doesn't mean everyone else knows it. I mean, pounding the Bible into somebody's head Oh, that's going to give them a sore head. That is not the way. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't go around with a scroll, hit the people over the head, or anything like that. What did he do? He used love. He used love. That you see all through the New Testament. He used that love and kindness and peace and gentleness. He used that fruit of the Spirit to grow us. That's how you lead people to Jesus. That's how you win hearts for Christ. Go onto the streets. Go into the city. There's a lot of hopeless people out there. You see it all through on the news. You see it in your own neighborhood. But it's the thing we can't end up doing is being armchair Christians. Okay, watching the world from inside our safe house or our safe church and not taking the word out into the street. See, this whole series is about evangelism and getting out and getting the word out and things like that. But being that armchair Christian isn't going to work. You can hide in your house. You can hide in that. You can keep Jesus to yourself. You got him. But that's not what Jesus tells us in the Great Commission in Matthew 28. So think about that a little bit. Think about this picture I'm about to show you here. Right there. Christianity is being in the world, not inside your house. It's about being in the world. It's what we need to do. It's where we need to take Jesus. Hey, this celebration starts today of Holy Week. This is a great time to bring some folks along with you when you come to some of our celebrations here at our church or in the community. Some of those folks that may not know Jesus, this is a great time to share Jesus with them. Anytime's a good time, but this is a great time. But I'm just asking you today, don't be an armchair Christian. Don't view it, Christianity, as a spectator sport. You got to be in it. Jesus gave it all for us, so let's give it all for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, yeah, we come to you today, God. Man, what you did for us, man, I don't know if we can ever repay you, but we can live a life for you. So we just ask you to, you know, show us the way, give us the courage, give us that appeal, give us the claim that we can take out into the streets and into our towns, into families and wherever, God, and just lift your name on high in a beautiful, loving, caring way. Let people know that we love you and we love them. So, Father, as we start this Holy Week, let us just be rejoice in your name. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.